sports-related injuries affect children, teens. They're on the rise. We're going to find out a little bit of that from orthopedic surgeon Dr. David Tischer. And also we have with us Abby Navarro, who's a college student and an athlete. Apparently you're also somebody who suffered an injury. Is that right, Abby?
That is correct.
What sport do you play?
Basketball.
And tell me, what was your injury? Is this a hand, foot, leg, where?
This was actually my knee.
Okay.
My sophomore year in high school, I tore my ACL and my meniscus in my left knee during a high school basketball game. And so what had happened was it was an acute injury, and it happened on impact. I was actually pushed, which caused my knee to hyperextend, tearing my ACL and my meniscus.
Well, just hearing that always gets everybody a little tinge of pain. Doctor, talk about something like this. I mean, sports injuries, they kind of go hand in hand. Why are the things on the rise, though?
Well, in the case of Abby, that was an acute injury. So that wasn't an overuse type injury, and we can talk about overuse as well. But Abby had a pretty typical course, and there's about 100,000 ACL injuries in America every year. We now have a surgery to reconstruct that ligament that's reliable and reproducible. And so she found out that she had to spend a good 6 to 9 months to rehab that knee afterwards. That's where you have to work at it as a team. You got to work with your physical therapist, your athletic trainer, the athlete, and the surgeon all have to work together. But, you know, she's back in the game, and that's the good news for your listeners is you can overcome one of these injuries. Now, the other is the overuse injury, and that's really what we're starting to see in children and in adolescents, where they're playing a single sport at a high intensity year-round.
And, of course, they're still growing. Their still body is not quite developed, so this injury causes greater harm then.
Absolutely. They have growth plates that are open, and that's the weak part of the bone. And so when you have these stress injuries, they can actually do damage to that part of the bone. So if the athlete's having pain or weakness in throwing or running or jumping, then it's probably time to rest for a week or two. And if it doesn't get better promptly, they should get in to see their orthopedic surgeon to make sure it's not a more serious condition that's preventable and treatable.
I've heard stories where people talked about playing sports is a good thing, obviously, and the different sports, baseball, basketball, football, or softball, and you know, have different muscles that you're using, so there's a variety. But when people are specializing, like it seems they are, this is where a lot of this can happen. What are some of the, I guess, besides rest, what are some of the solutions or ways to prevent this?
Well, the main thing is an understanding by the coaches and the athletes and the parents that if they do start developing symptoms, that you just have to rest it because the body will heal itself if you're being prudent and appropriate with it. Now, if you continue to play with pain, you can actually do more injury, maybe even permanent injury to yourself or injury that would require surgery, and that's really what we want to avoid. There's good information for your listeners at orthoinfo.org and nationinmotion.org.
When I think of overuse, I always think of the pitcher. That seems the one, the arm motion, which is sort of, I've heard, is an unnatural motion for the overhand baseball throw. What other sports are having sort of, you know, overuse? What other?
Well, I'll tell you one that we see an awful lot is gymnastics because they're doing the same activity over and over and over again. You can develop in any of the running sports in the lower extremities, so like basketball, you can develop it there, soccer. So it is sport specific, and there's as I said, the important thing is that your listeners get educated on these things so that they can recognize these in their young people, athletes, and help prevent them, or if they do develop it, that they know how to treat it and get good prompt medical attention from an orthopedic surgeon.
Now, Abby, when we heard your story, it was sort of one of those impacts where it kind of happens. Did you ever have an injury where you thought to yourself, I can get through this. I don't need to worry about it. I don't have to tell people about it because I still want to play. Did that ever encounter that during your career?
This was the first injury that I've ever had. And, of course, it has been the most serious injury that I've had. So at that point, I was in full denial that I had actually severely hurt my knee. But, you know, once I saw my orthopedic surgeon, he confirmed that I needed surgery. I knew that it was pretty serious.
What was it like for that rehabilitation, which the doctor says obviously is a key once they kind of sort of fix it up, it becomes your responsibility now to make it better. How difficult or easy was that for you?
Right. The physical therapy was very tedious. It was long. And, of course, I just wanted to play basketball, so I wanted to get it over with. But I knew that the healing process was the most important process. So I went through, I think I went three times a week for 6 to 7 months. And, of course, when that was over and I was able to play basketball again, I was very happy.
Well, that shows positive results for, you know, a good effort on your part. What about the mental aspect of it? Do you always think in your mind, that knee was not, you know, has been injured, I got to work on that? How do you get over that kind of hump?
Definitely. Every time that I run, play basketball, do anything physically, there's always in the back of my mind that, I did hurt this knee. There's a possibility that I could re-hurt it. There's a possibility that I could hurt my other knee. And it always stays with me in the back of my mind. But I know that my orthopedic surgeons and my physical therapist did an excellent job in getting me back to 100%. So I feel very confident with both of my knees, and I'm just glad to be back to 100%.
And doctor, these surgeries have become a little more fine-tuned. They use that word precision, kind of. It used to be a big zipper kind of scar that these people would end up with. Now, obviously, things are being able to done on the smaller scale?
Yes, they can. And, in fact, most of us that are doing this surgery are using an all-arthroscopic technique. So it's just the small little poke holes to get the surgical telescope or the instruments in there. Sometimes we have to make an incision. In Abby's case, they used a piece of her patellar tendon. That's the patellar ligament that's up in the front of the knee. So you have to open that up to be able to harvest that graft. But we also have the ability to use a source from a cadaver tissue bank. And so smaller incisions are definitely much more possible now. It's not like it was when you and I were in high school.
Well, many times some of those injuries would be a career. They call them career-ending injuries at a certain point. But I guess thanks to those people who went before, who allowed the people to open up their knees and figure out what's going on and what's the best way, people today now can have those simpler surgeries. But we're talking today about not having to try to have those. Obviously, an impact injury, acute injury like that, you never know when that's going to happen. It's the overuse ones. What, again, is a good place for people to check this out and to kind of, as we start into the summer season, baseball, people outside running, doing things, what is a good place to get some information about this?
Send your listeners to anationinmotion.org and orthoinfo.org.
We appreciate both your times this morning, Dr. David Tischer and also Abby Navarro. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thanks so much.